My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and we are looking forward to this time together in this episode of this program that we are so happy to be celebrating with and working with our good friend, Kayla Padgett. She has done a marvelous job with her Finding Your Way Network, Finding My Way Network, and she does so many wonderful things, and we're so thankful for her. As we're in the month of November, as we think about Thanksgiving coming up, there's so much to be thankful for. And certainly our affiliation with Kayla Padgett is one of those wonderful things that we're thankful for. Now, the month of November is also very significant in my life. 50 years ago, on November the 6th, 1971, a young couple got married. And that young couple was Rich Floyd and Rita Floyd, or at the time, Rita Lee and Richard Floyd. And it's hard to believe that we've just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. Cannot believe it. Not possible. We can't be old enough to have been married 50 years, but it's true. Now, I'd like to talk about that some more and marriage and all of that, but I was reminded as I come to this time of the year, an event that occurred 20 years ago that helped put into perspective the importance of family relationships and making time for our loved ones and how that should always be a top priority. Well, let me begin. It was the weekend of November 3rd and 4th of November 2001, 20 years ago, that I met Elder Richard D. Allred of the Second Quorum of 70 of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what we would call a stake conference. Now, during one of the conference sessions, he shared a most unique story that he and his son experienced a number of years earlier. Elder Allred, while serving as a general in the United States Air Force, was stationed with his family in Europe and found one day upon his arrival home that his wife was concerned that something was not right with their son, and she suggested that he should go to talk with him. In talking with his son, he was surprised to learn that his son had been reading from a medical book and was convinced that he had a very specific type of cancer. As a typical dad, Elder Allred was a bit skeptical and questioned his son why he was so sure that he had cancer, and specifically that type of cancer. Well, the son's response was basically that he had prayed about it and that he had received a spiritual confirmation that that was the case. Soon afterwards, through a series of medical examinations, it was determined that indeed his son had that exact type of cancer. Now, because of the nature of the cancer, Elder Allred and his son had to travel back to the United States where they could get the specific medical treatment that was needed by a specialist that could provide that treatment. Now, as that process of returning back to the States, going through the surgery and the treatments and everything, Elder Allred stayed literally day and night at the hospital in the room with his son for days and days and days. And as it turned out, fortunately, through the treatment protocol, it was successful, and his son, over time, was able to be diagnosed cancer-free. A miracle. Several years later, the son was about to leave to go on a mission with his church. And on his last time and being at home before he left for his mission, it was an evening where the family had a gathering, which we would call family home evening. This was to be his last time for 2 years to be with his family for a family home evening. Elder Allred, the father, had the family share their testimonies with one another. When it came time for his son to do so, he shared his testimony, but he added very emphatically that he knew that his dad loved him. Somewhat puzzled by his son's statement, Elder Allred later that evening sought his son out and asked him, what did he mean by that? How did he know that he loved him? And then he asked, was it when I stayed with you at the hospital day and night during that time you were having your treatment for cancer? And surprisingly, his son said, no, that was expected. That would be his responsibility as his father. He said, Dad, do you remember when it was my birthday and I specifically wanted to do something a little different? But there was a problem. You were in charge of a large youth event with the church, and you were the man in charge. But I wanted you to take me go-karting on my birthday, which was the same day and at the same time period that this would have had to have occurred. And do you remember, Dad, what you said to me? And here's what Elder Allred shared with us at that general that state conference message that he shared. He had organized the event. He had counselors who were aware of what needed to be done during the time of the event. And so he'd made a conscious decision to contact one of his counselors and to delegate the responsibility for being present at the event and making sure that everything went well, according to the plan. And he took his son go-karting on his birthday. His son said, that's the day that I knew that you loved me, because you focused your time and interest on me when you could have easily begged off to take care of your commitments. Well, I likened that story, and I have since labeled it, the parable of the go-kart. So remembering the importance of family relationships and making time for our loved ones should always be our number one priority. Now, those of you who are familiar with Paul Harvey and his Now the Rest of the Story programs, I'd like to share a little bit about what happened the days right after hearing this talk, the parable of the go-kart. As I said, the weekend conference was November 3rd and 4th. Well, on November the 6th, that Tuesday, was going to be our 30th wedding anniversary. This was in 2001. Now, I had just been called as the bishop of our ward, our congregation, just 2 months earlier. And Tuesday nights was the night that we had our youth activities at the church. And because of that, my wife, Rita, was very generous and said, you know, we could wait till Friday night to celebrate our anniversary. And initially I agreed because it seemed appropriate that I be at church to fulfill my responsibilities with the youth. But I started thinking about that talk from Elder Allred, and it caused me to reanalyze my priorities. Now, for our 25th wedding anniversary, we had gone on a nice cruise to the Bahamas. And, you know, the next big event, of course, is the 50th anniversary. But as I thought about it, a 30th wedding anniversary seemed to be significant too in my mind. And so after consulting with my counselors in the bishopric, they agreed to cover for me that evening with our youth. And actually, in fact, they insisted that I go and be with my wife on our anniversary. So I asked my daughter, Becky to offer to take my wife Rita to dinner with the presumption that I would be at church. So I contacted a local restaurant, and they agreed to reserve a table for us. And I arrived early with a nice bouquet, if you will, of flowers, a card, and a little miniature go-kart. I had the table all set. Now, as I was doing this, the management and the staff were moving tables around, and there was a lot of commotion. And I could tell there was a lot of curiosity by the customers wondering what the heck was going on. Well, soon enough, Rita arrived with our daughter, Becky. And my wife the whole time was saying, now, Becky, we're going to have to wait. The restaurant doesn't take reservations. And Becky said, don't worry, we'll get in. And when they arrived, much to Rita's surprise, they were immediately escorted to the room. Now, when she saw the table, she was very perplexed at what she saw with all those aforementioned items on the table. I was standing behind a wall partition, and as she was standing there at the table, I came out, completely catching her by surprise, and was able to greet her, give her a kiss, and to wish her happy anniversary. Well, upon seeing this, it was kind of one of those moments you see in a movie. All of the patrons there in that room started applauding and cheering as they observed our embrace. And that was kind of a neat experience, to say the least. And so my wife, being totally surprised, was most delighted that I had chosen to follow the teaching and the learning of what she and I had both heard just a few days before of the parable of the go-kart, of remembering the importance of family relationships and making time for our loved ones being a number one priority. So, that was 20 years ago, November the 6th, 2021, has become a significant date for my wife and I as we celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. Now, over the years, as I've thought about a 50th wedding anniversary, I had only the perspective of what it was like to know someone in the family that was having a 50th wedding anniversary. And this occurred in 1958 when I was at the ripe old age of 9 years old. My grandfather, Mordecai Ham, and his wife, Annie Laurie Smith Ham, celebrated their 50th anniversary on June 3rd, 1958. And when they had gotten married, he was 31 and she was 15. So there was a bit of an age difference, but I remember seeing the two of them, and to be honest with you, as a 9-year-old, they looked to be very old. And over the years, as I thought about a couple being married 50 years, as I would look in the mirror or look at my wife, I'd think, surely to goodness, we don't look that old to be able to have a 50th wedding anniversary. But it is true. And I'm delighted and happy that the years have blessed us with love, a wonderful family, many wonderful memories. And I'm eternally grateful for the relationship and the joy of having been married to my wife these 50 years. As she commented, she said, let's do another 50 and do it all over again. And I'm in that corner. Amen. Now, it's interesting to think about married couples in our society today. More than half of the currently married couples, 55%, have been married for at least 15 years, while 35% have reached their 25th anniversary. But amazingly, only a small percentage, 6%, have passed their golden 50th wedding anniversary. Think about that, 6%. Between divorce, separation, or death.
the number drops dramatically. Now, the median length of marriage between a first wedding and either divorce or death of one spouse is over 40 years. And a couple of sources I was reading says the best marriage tips from couples who have been married for 50 years. Number one, let your partner know you're thinking about them throughout the day. Number two, let them express their feelings first. Number three, accept your partner for who they are. Number four, imagine what your life really would be like without them. And number five, learn how to compromise. Some great advice given by successful couples that have been married for those 50 years. Now, there's a resource that as I was preparing for this program, Words of Wisdom from Couples Celebrating 50 Years of Marriage. According to couples celebrating 50 years of wedded bliss and experts who have seen these partnerships thrive, there are some golden rules. There are certain elements of a long-lasting and pleasant married life that increases the likelihood of a couple being together many years later. Following are some wise words and the best ways to make your marriage go the distance. Number one, keep a good friendship. One of the crucial elements of a long-lasting marriage is to be good friends. As the famous idiom goes, it takes two to tango. It is totally based on friendship and not obligation when two people voluntarily agree to do something together. It is not always the case that people loving each other are automatically good friends as well. A good friendship among two lovers makes spending time together something that both the parties enjoy and look forward to. Number two, face the world together. The most fulfilling relationship occurs when a couple understands that marriage is a team sport. They must stand back to back, facing outwards. We are individuals, but accomplish more together. Remember, marriage is not a contest. Never keep score. Number three, respect personality differences. It is extremely important to accept your partner just for who they are. You should never think that you can marry a man or woman today and change their ways tomorrow. Being exactly the same won't work, and most probably you will end up wishing you still had the old, flawed model you fell in love with. Number four, get over the argument quickly. It is often the petty details of everyday life that determine whether a marriage is a success. Words of anger have the potential to poison your relationship, and the aftermath could be devastating. Therefore, it is important to be generous when you argue. Argue a lot, but always get over it. Marriages are not always smooth, but they should always be respectful. Be careful while speaking your mind, and do not say or do anything that is not recoverable. Let me reemphasize that last sentence. Be careful while speaking your mind. Do not say anything or do anything that is not recoverable. Number five, be a good listener. This good courtesy really does make a difference. It is quite essential to understand your partner's point of view. A good marriage is based upon good communication and the ability to sort out the issue without bringing in outside influences. Devote your time to understanding one another. To make a marriage work, every couple needs to attain openness and honesty to discuss an array of issues. It is avoided talks that become the root of many problems.
Next, apologize properly. Nobody is perfect. It is human nature to commit mistakes. For a healthy marriage, an apology without necessarily agreeing is not something to get distressed over. Saying sorry does not always have to mean that you were wrong. It could refer to being sorry for your behavior, words, and maybe even raising your voice or shouting. Sometimes it's fine if you agree to disagree and then move on. Couples who do not put their egos aside put their relationship at risk, making it spiteful. Next, make your spouse feel special. A long-lasting relationship does not come without a little sacrifice. It is necessary to put your partner first occasionally, or really more often. Let your partner know what you think and care about. Plan a dinner date or surprise them. Make them feel special and wanted. Next, put trust in each other. Trust is an integral part of a healthy and fulfilling relationship. Trusting someone is a choice that you make. It is important for the partners to trust each other, as it is the foundation upon which your relationship can survive the hardest of times. Give each other personal space, for lack of trust is one of the reasons that relationships fall apart. Remember good times. Always keep in mind that arguments are temporary. Try to forget bad aspects of the relationship and relive your beautiful moments with each other. You may not have tomorrow with your loved one. Any relationship requires patience and effort. It is impossible to work a meaningful relationship flawlessly. Therefore, stick to each other through bad times and remember to live every day as if it is your last. Those are powerful words, and I'm reminded of a handful of couples that we know personally that just in the last 2 or 3 years, one of the spouses has passed on. And it's a sobering reminder that life is not endless. But as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I am so thankful to have the knowledge and have had the experience to know that marriage relationships can go way past death. In the scriptures, the Savior gave one of his apostles, Peter, some keys of authority and a great, great blessing of having that authority, that whatsoever that should be bound on earth can be bound in heaven. And in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, in the house of the Lord, the holy temples scattered all over the world, an ordinance of marriage is not performed till death do you part. As those words were spoken for my wife and I on November 6, 1971, by my Baptist preacher, he married us with the words, "Until death do you part." However, on July 2nd, 1976, my wife and I were privileged and blessed to be able to be in the house of the Lord in the Washington, D.C. temple, where we were sealed together, bound together, if you will, according to that priesthood authority. We were sealed together as husband or wife, not till death do us part, but for time and all eternity. Marriage and family relationships are eternal, or can be eternal. And so my wife and I have had the benefit of that blessing and that understanding since 1976. So So we've had many years to forge our marriage relationship based on understanding that our relationship was not going to be just in mortality, but that it would be eternal. And I can testify to you that I have learned that when one has an eternal perspective about life, it gives you a completely different attitude about day-to-day circumstances. With eternal perspective and looking back in the past, I've discovered that many times things that at the time seemed like this big mountain, this horrible thing to deal with, looking back on it, seems now like a little molehill, very insignificant. And that those stumbling blocks actually turned out to be stepping stones. So having an eternal perspective gets us through the difficult times much, much easier. And I can testify of that because I've experienced it. In the family, in the proclamation known as the family, a proclamation to the world, modern day prophets have outlined 9 basic principles for strong gospel-centered families. And here's a direct quote from that proclamation. It says, "Successful marriages and families are established and maintained on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activities." Now, much could be said about each one of those, but I'll give just a very brief summary of each one. Faith is confidence and trust in Jesus Christ that can lead a person to obey him. Prayer is the act by which the will of the Father and the will of the child are brought into correspondence with each other. Object of prayer is not to change the will of God, but to secure for ourselves and for others that God is already willing to grant, but that are made conditional on our asking for them. Repentance implies that a person turns away from evil and turns his or her heart and will to God. Forgiveness. To forgive generally means one of two things. Number one, when God forgives men, he cancels or sets aside a required punishment for sin. And secondly, as people forgive each other, they treat one another with Christ-like love. Respect. To consider worthy of high regard. Love. Deep devotion and affection. The greatest example of God's love for his children is found in the infinite atonement of Jesus Christ and of God's love for man. Quoting my favorite scripture found in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Compassion. Literally, to suffer with, it also means to show sympathy, pity, and mercy for another. Work was mentioned. To exert oneself physically or mentally, especially in sustained effort for a purpose. Much could be said about that. And then lastly, recreation. Healthy, virtuous activities that refresh and strengthen the spirit. In conclusion, I would like to bear my testimony that I know that life can be challenging, but that when a husband and wife are united, and as the scriptures say, they become one in Christ, that bond, that relationship, allows for that couple to be stronger together than they would be individually. And the ability to overcome difficult situations,
to overcome the adversary becomes much, much easier to accomplish. I would encourage each of us to reevaluate our priorities and to make sure that our number one priority is our spouse and our families, and of course our relationship with Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. May we strive to be our very best and to treat one another with the greatest of respect and love that we can possibly provide. Is my hope and prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And to my eternal companion, Rita Floyd, happy 50th anniversary. I love you dearly.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.